It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime!
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time.
Easy does it, but do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens!
Hey, with an effective character, three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And James here.
The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience about carrying the message in episode 217 of the Effective Characters Podcast. Let's go.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, and Dennis. What a heavy message it is, right, Dennis?
Sure.
My back hurts from carrying the message.
Bum. So, okay. How was your guys' date day on Monday? Sorry I missed you guys.
We missed you as well. That was nice of you to just say that.
Yeah.
You don't have to apologize about missing us either. Life happens. We originally were going to record this week's episode, and then God had other plans and needed James to go into work. So Dennis and I hung out because I'm making an effort to get out of my comfort zone and my bubble. And as much as I possibly can, even though I find myself really stressed out time-wise, I'm trying to get to see you guys face-to-face as much as possible. So...
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I was able to see Dennis. He looked really good. I know James. You said that Dennis looks terrible, but I would say he just looks bad. He doesn't look. Dennis, no. Hey Dennis. Honestly, you looked way better than I last remember you. You looked very. I don't know if you're using a new kind of moisturizer.
Well, he was glowing, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was a bit of a glow. It was a bit of a glow to him, and I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He's been in front of too many monitors for too long.
Last time you saw me was what, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and honestly, you don't look 14 days older. You looked about 10. You looked about 10 days older.
That was pretty good. How was his little beard?
His beard was good. I took my nails.
I actually shaved that day. So,
how do you guys groom? James, do you groom yourself, like the back of your head there when you cut your hair, or do you ask your better half to clean you up in between cuts?
No, I just go to the barber every 3 weeks.
Every 3 weeks. I haven't been to the barber in 2 months. Maybe I should end up going.
Yeah, I keep mine high and tight, but you're flowing like Flonays. It's nice.
Yeah, that's actually what they call me. I think we shared it on here the last time I went to get my hair cut, and I left my wallet in the car, and the guy goes, "No, don't worry." And he took pity on me, I think. When I had him just shave the back of my neck, I'm like, "I just want the back of my neck shaved." He's like, "No, I don't need your money." He's like, "That's okay." And I'm like, "Wow, what a generous thing." And he usually was not known for his generosity. So,
Did you tip him?
No, he refused to take any monies. And I said, "No, let me do it." And he's like, "Nope." So he wouldn't run my card, and I didn't have any cash. So I wasn't able to. But the next time I get my hair done, there, I will make sure to tip him double, you know, and then some. But I just think it's nice. It's nice that everybody's not, even if you're known for being a curmudgeon, which I think sometimes we get a little curmudgeon-y from time to time.
What's a curmudgeon?
Curmudgeon, like Ebenezer Scrooge, as we're about to come into the Christmas season. So kind of like Ebenezer. You know how he's not known for being the best dude?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so kind of like that, you know, where he's like, oh, fiddlesticks, you know, or says something like that. So if you're, you know, if you have a tough time, because even though the holidays are supposed to be a happy time, to a lot of people, it is not, you know, especially a lot of people that are dealing with stuff that they cannot control, which is always what I find. Like, I'm guilty of being in a bad mood. If things around me I can't control, I am not able to accept that I can't control them. So, yeah. Let me hit on the last week since I came up with the topic this week. Last week was good. I had a interesting moment that I shared with Dennis where, if there's any kids listening, just know that this is time to just fast forward a little bit because I want to be honest and talk to the adults for a minute, okay? So now that it's just the adults, my stepsons found the elves, the elf on the shelf, they found the elves in the box and they had to have the talk about the holidays and the truth behind the holidays. And I was surprised the 11-year-old did not take it very well. The 11-year-old had no idea the real spirit of Christmas and how that went. And he was in tears for like a full day until he realized that it meant he's still getting gifts and he gets to then hide the elves for Olivia. But it was quite something. You know, I don't, how did your boys take it, James?
We never did the elf on the shelf.
Well, I mean, as far as the
spirit. No, but like Santa Claus not being real and stuff.
One story about the elf on the shelf. When I was in Omaha last weekend, my sister had the elf and I woke up and I saw it. I was like, oh, a little elf. And then I bumped it and it fell onto the steps. And then I saw it like later on that day somewhere else. And then my little niece said, look, James, the elf is over here. And I was like, oh, cool. And I picked it up and I put it somewhere else. She's like, no, you can't do that. Now the elf is going to be sick. Humans can't touch the elf. Because I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, what do you do now? She's like, it's too late. I was just like, oh, I didn't know the rules. So I thought that was funny. So I told her the elf in the shelf was fake and Christmas is fake and then all that stuff.
Wow. She cried.
Just kidding. I didn't do all that. As far as my children, you know, I don't even remember the transition from when we never had that talk. I think they just learned YouTube in school. But I do remember, like, for Easter, I would put their Easter baskets out and then I would put some flour, white flour on the table, and then I would make little bunny paw prints.
Nice.
And I would like look up what they looked like. And so I was like, look. And I don't know if they believed that. They just wanted their chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, they didn't ask about the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny. So those are still intact at this point. That's, you know, it's a real relief. I don't know how the heck you would believe it. You know, Mr. Bunny, once you know that, you know, Santa is, you know, not real. But, hey, whatever you're going to do, right? I'm just glad we didn't have to have continuous talks about that. That was the big thing. But we put up Christmas decorations, and it was really great. And I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving. I don't have Olivia, but we're going to do something after next weekend. So looking forward to that. And that was really the last week. You know, everything else has been going good. Dennis?
I guess this week was pretty good. I went to lunch with you, Mike, and that was nice because James bailed on us. Very inconsiderate. Other than that, I watched the Super Mario Brothers movie finally.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was really good. It was a pleasant surprise. I didn't expect it to be like that funny, that entertaining.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I thought Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong were funny, and I thought they did a good job with Mario and Luigi as well, and Toadstools. All like the little Toadstool guys are great. Yeah, it was nice. But yeah, I got Mike's Peacock login, so like I've been discovering there's actually a few shows on there that look pretty interesting. So I look forward to diving into that. On other front, I got like two video behind on editing where I had full episodes recorded but not edited. And so I've been trying to play catch up. And now I'm like one and a quarter, one and a tenth behind still. So I still have one to edit, and I started the next one. So that's fun. It's like the first time in this that I feel kind of like behind, even though, I mean, I'm not. Like, there's no behind really, but like I want it edited and organized. But other than that, not much. I got to take my dad to the airport tomorrow because he's going to ride the train that James wants to ride.
Peaches.
To Fort Lauderdale.
Wait, the Polar Express?
That's the one?
No.
Wow.
It's the opposite. It's like the Sunshine Express or whatever they call it.
With Tom Hanks.
You're talking about the Bright Line.
I have no idea what it's really called. And I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks is not on it.
He should be. Yeah.
Wait, I don't know about the Bright Line, but have you guys played with a light bright lately? Boy, are those fun. Mm-hmm. I made a mushroom once on a light bright.
That sounds so cool. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Any update? How was the trip, James?
It was good. I got to spend a lot of time with cousins and family. There was one little, when I was staying with my youngest sister, her husband is just, I think he's an addict. It's just, he's so negative. So everything my sister did, he would like have something to say, like, well, that's not how you do it. Or and same with his children. Just like, and I stayed the night there and I was just like, oh God, this guy is like no program, no filter, no kind. He's just not kind at all. So later that night when we were all we had a campfire outside or like a fire pit. They were talking about Talitha. They're like, oh, have you met Talitha? She's just wonderful. She's so full of happiness and she's so kind and positive. And then out of nowhere, I'm like, yep, the opposite of Robert. And I was like, oh, shit. As soon as I said it, I looked at him and he looked at me and he's like, eat a bag of dicks.
Oh my God.
And then did I was you? Like, no. But I didn't, but you know, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that. But you know, like,
did you apologize?
Here's the thing, not right then and there. But like maybe 15 minutes go by, and then my other sister's husband, he's like, that was pretty funny what you said. I was like, oh, where is he? I was like, oh, he left. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I think you really pissed him off. I was like, but I mean, well, he is negative. And I mean, I guess I shouldn't have said that, but he's like, oh yeah, he's very sensitive. I was like, then I just started thinking like, yeah, he's definitely an addict.
And this is and, who? This is your sister's boyfriend?
Sister's husband. He's got the two babies.
So it's your brother-in-law.
Yeah, I sent him a text, you know, apologizing, and he said I overstepped. I was just like, but I didn't, like, I cleaned my side of the street, and I was kind and loving and as best as I could be, and that's it. So, like, I'm not like, going into morbid reflection. It is what it is, and I'm not losing any sleep over it, but, you know, I kind of feel bad for my sister, because he really... He seems very verbally abusive, and I can't stand it. but I'm not going to make her situation uncomfortable. So he is the type of guy I would never, ever, ever be friends with. You know, like those people in the rooms that are just always negative and just the world sucks. And you're like, okay, never going to go out to coffee with him.
Yeah.
But that being said, I should not, you know, I have to learn to, you know, should it be said? Does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? None of that needed to be said because, you know, it just, it comes back to me. Like, I did not need to say it.
Yeah.
Even if it was true, even if I didn't know how sensitive it was, even if I thought like, oh, you know, we're all just joking around, but whatever. So just whatever, any words that come out of my mouth, they should be positive, kind, and not gossiping. And, you know, bring people up instead of down. So I learned a valuable lesson. So, yeah, that's what I got.
Oh, that's a cool takeaway, you know, to know that. Because, you know, I don't know. I for sure, I said so many things in the past. And I wouldn't shoot a, like, apology. I would just be like, listen, they're going to be sensitive, you know. Well, that's who cares? You know, like I would justify is what I would do. And I would rationalize to make myself feel like I didn't do anything wrong and I didn't deserve, they didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve for me to, you know, reach out and be like, hey, sorry that you're feeling this way, blah, blah. So I think that's growth, you know. I'm sure the three of us, back when we were in our, you know, in our addiction, in our, I don't know, worst versions of ourselves, we were the same in that we would probably feel that way and we wouldn't think about it. Maybe not Dennis. Dennis has always been a good old boy, you know, never mean any harm.
I've definitely said and done things that I shouldn't have. And
we know Dennis.
Everybody loves Dennis.
It's true. That's why they have that show.
That was about peaches.
That's right. Carrying the message, something I don't think we've worded it that way in the past, but the message is very, for me, I look at it that it is very easy to carry the message, and my favorite way to do that is leading by example of how the program is. You know, I have early in sobriety, I probably had, and I know I've told this story before, but at this point, it's been years. There was a coworker of mine that when I had, what did I have? Maybe 2 months in the program in AA, my boss knew that I was going to AA meetings every single day. And a coworker of mine was caught drinking at work and slurring her words when she was in the studio, like broadcasting, where it was very clear she was. And then she was found out that she was drinking on her lunch breaks. And my boss was like, hey, can you take her to a meeting? And I said, I can only ask her. I could say, hey, I'm going to go tonight. I don't know if you want to go, but that's it. And he's like, well, can't we like make her? And I said, yeah, that's not how that works. You can't make somebody do something. They don't want to do it. You know, she doesn't care about herself at all. She won't care, you know, enough to do that. And she did go to a meeting. Unfortunately, like my sponsor was like, yeah, I don't know. You might be too new in sobriety to bring somebody and expect them to get it. And she made the meeting all about her. And, which I guess is kind of, it happens in a lot of meetings when somebody's new, right? Because that meeting, they're the most important person in that meeting, so they say. And they keep it fresh. And the whole thing wasn't ruined. The whole meeting wasn't ruined. For me, I didn't find as much value in it because I was too close to her, but other friends of mine were like, hey, maybe she'll get it. And I just actually reconnected with her. This was years ago now, so this was 9 years ago. And she just said that she just picked up a 2-month chip just now. And she had had small bouts of sobriety here or there. She went California sober for a bit. which is when you still smoke pot, but you abstain from the drink. And she said that she's trying to get it together, and more power to her. But you can carry the message just even going to a meeting. This podcast carries the message of experience, strength, and hope, and a lot of the principles. So I never shy away from it. If somebody asks me for help, then I help them. I don't take other people's inventory. I think it was a big thing I learned in the program of the best way to carry the message is by representing yourself the best you possibly can with the principles. And then if someone asks for help, just like the responsibility statement, that I do have my hand there for somebody. So that's it. That's carrying the message. Dennis?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, for some reason, I'm thinking about this scene from Killing Eve, where I don't know if either of y'all have saw that show, but it's a fantastic show. But at one point, Eve is dealing with like she's like a cop, like an investigator detective type person that deals with like serial killers and or assassins and stuff. So she's tracking down this assassin, but she's uncovered this whole thing of a conspiracy, and like she had just killed someone and is like really like psychologically and mentally distraught and like totally broken down. And she's sitting at a bar, like drinking something. And it's this nice fancy place. And right next to her is this lady who's like very well put together, looks really pretty and nice clothes and fancy looking, like a businesswoman or something. And Eve, in contrast, looks completely like right off the street of a bender or something. And she looks at her, or like the well put together lady looks at Eve and is like, I know who you are. And so Eve starts kind of like, what's going on? Because she's paranoid. She's like, I've been where you are. I've been there. I know how you're feeling right now. She's all like freaking out, and she's like, it doesn't have to be like this, like there is a way out. And she's all like freaking out more and stuff. And then she finally reveals like, I'm going to a meeting right now. Would you like to join me? And then Eve starts laughing. He's like, oh, you think I'm a drug addict? And I'm like, oh, I thought it was so funny. But I think that lady like kind of very simply put out what I think that message is, it's like, I've been where you are. There is a way out of it. I'll show you how, and like, that's the message, it's a bunch of alcoholics who have been at the bottom. And when they see someone who's also at the bottom, they know how to get them out of that bottom, And then I also think like what Mike was talking about and stuff about, being the message, embodying that message, right? So the message is like what we carry within our behavior and our actions, right? So whenever we're out in the world and there's stressful situations going on, or there's temptations and there's drama or whatever, it's how we carry ourselves through that other people notice. It's like we have a friend who I believe both of y'all have met, who was my sponsee at one point, who was a friend of mine before he came into the program, right? And I've drank with him and smoked with him and stuff. And, I got sober, and over a period of time, he noticed that, and he was drinking. And when he wanted to stop, he came to me because he had noticed, how I changed. And that's not me preaching to him or telling him anything at all. And, I think that's what it is. I think that's what people who are going through something and have nowhere else to go will notice the light shining in the darkness, kind of. And I think that's kind of what we are when we live by the principles and live a sober life. the people that need to see it will see it, you know? What do you got, James?
Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome.
carrying the message. I do want to say thank God that, you know, Bill and Bob started this thing in 1935, and they have passed down the message for almost 100 years. It's amazing. And, you know, thank God they found the solution, and they made it very important that the only way to stay sober is to help another alcoholic. So for me, you guys help keep me sober. The rooms keep me sober. My sponsor, my wife. You know, I stay close to the people who are like me because they're the ones who can support me and understand me and care for me and love me, you know, in my times of need. And when I carry the message, you know, I can do it through sponsorship. I can do it through chairing the meeting, telling my story. You know, I remember coming in early sobriety before I got sober this last time, and I was terrified to tell my story. It's like, I'm never going to tell my story. I'm never going to go up in front of these. I had the case of the nevers. I will never tell all my deep, dark and secrets. You know, that's just, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit in front of a room and tell them what it was like as a child and growing up. I think I've done it 10 times since then. And what's great about sharing my story, you know, it's gotten more solution based over the past 6 years. I do tell them, you know, what it was like, what happened. What happened is my favorite part, you know, which is I had a spiritual experience and God came into my life in a big way. And I've been close to him ever since. And then what it's like now is walking on a path of enlightenment with God on my right hand side and just loving life and loving other human beings. Carrying the message to me means going to meetings all the time, because that's where you're going to find the newcomers. When I was up there visiting my family, you know, they were all drinking, and you know, I wasn't about to tell them. All I said is, I'm going to go to a meeting on Saturday morning. Anyone's welcome to come with me. That's it. I would never say you need to go to a meeting or I think you drink a lot. You know, that's none of my business. But I will be what Dennis alluded to, shining, be the bright shining beacon of light of what sober living is like. And if I'm not going to meetings, there's no one there to help. You know, you can't find newcomers out there on the streets. You go to the meetings to find the people who are desperate, who need the help. And so I'm going to keep showing up. And, you know, I think the podcast is a good way to carry the message, even if it's in our own fun way. It's a good way to stay accountable and to, you know, have fun while carrying the message. So that's what I got.
Awesome. Thank you, James.
So did you go to a meeting?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. There's about 100 people there. They had coffee and donuts and danishes, and it was a round robin. So they would just one person would start and then call on someone, and then that person would call on someone. And the whole time I was sitting there, I was like, I hope they don't call on me. And they didn't.
Nice. Dodge the bullet. That's what I like to call that. Dodge the bullet.
Yep.
Yep. Did you guys ever share somebody else's story?
I shared.
No.
Shared Dennis's story twice yesterday.
I share the story all the time because it's so crazy cool.
Yeah.
All the time. I can't help it. Dennis, your story is just so cool.
If you say so.
Yep. I just find I think it's episode 3 and then I just play it for them.
It's very, very true.
I know you're lying.
Episode 2. My story was episode 3.
Oh, what's mine?
I don't. I feel like you guys went before me, right?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I am episode 2, though.
You definitely are, because you demanded, remember? You said, I don't want my anxiety to actually, like, make me not do it. So I want to go second, because I know we're going to be talking about this in over 200 episodes. That's what I remember you saying.
So, Dennis, are you going to be home Christmas week?
Maybe. I don't know. I know my dad goes out of town and I got to pick him up on Christmas Day.
Because we're, the boys and I, because our house is going to be like completely full. We got a hotel at Celebration Hotel for Christmas Eve till New Year's Eve. For 7 days, we'll be at the hotel. So we'll be like one street away from you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a nice little hotel.
Yeah, it's great. It's really comfy.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And also, we're going to have to switch. We know for a fact that next week, since it's landing on Thanksgiving, it is going to be the gratitude episode. When was it? Was it Christmas that we actually had hot dogs and we grilled, or was that Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I think it was Christmas.
Christmas. Okay. So maybe we can keep that tradition going, but we're going to need, I will make a list of the ones who have done already, because we are transitioning into our Christmas episodes after gratitude next week. We are going to dive into either I know we have approved that there was a Nighthawk.
Hawkeye.
I don't know why I said Nighthawk. So Hawkeye, we will be watching that. Do you want that to be the first one, Dennis?
Why don't we just do each episode and then only do Hawkeye?
Nope. We can't, because we have to do Christmas Vacation too.
Oh,
that's so good. That's such a good movie. So we'll be moving into that, which is a fun way of maybe drumming up some ideas. And because I know there's a lot of stories that I totally forget, things that I did or you know, actions that I did when I was still out drinking, even after all these years, things that friends of mine or maybe even watching a show will make me remember. So I think it'll be fun to bring in. You guys game with that? Trying to figure out some Christmas movies, yes, and shows?
Instead of hot dogs, I'd like to do some delightful sausages.
Oh, that's...
So we won't need a bun.
Right. Yep. We should get bratwurst, because I always like that Dennis calls them bratwurst, because his dad Peaches always called him a brat.
Peaches. The worst brat.
The worst.
The bratwurst.
So we will do that. But let's put a bow on this episode 217, The Defective Characters. We'll be back next Thursday with 218. We are the defective characters. The right to have all these character defects removed. Remember,
whenever someone reaches out for the hand of AA, I will be there.
I will be there. Dennis will be there. That's nice. Take some, turn them away. You don't want to turn them away, Dennis.
Unless I'm sleeping.
We'll see you next time.